Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ben Shapiro just appeared on CNN for the first time in years, I believe. And he went on The Perfect Show, really. He went on Newsnight with Abby Phillips. Yes, Scott Jennings was there, and that only made it better. As you'd expect, he cleaned the panel pretty easily. They talked about Social Security, they talked about the national debt, Donald Trump, foreign policy, and we're going to break all of it down on the show today, starting with Social Security. On this panel with CNN, you had some of the most prominent left voices. I mean, you had Abby Phillips, who has a fairly decent following. You've got Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks. You have this lady, I'm not sure her name, but she's from the Financial Times. And they started off by talking about Social Security, and it became very clear, very fast, that even the supposedly smartest, brightest minds from the left do not understand what Social Security is and how it works at all. And Ben Shapiro cracks down hard on them because of it. Take a look.
Hold on. When you're talking about the government paying, you're talking about Social Security,
yes.
Which is people's money.
Well, it is not the money you
paid
in.
It's the system
that they pay into.
Well, no,
you're calling paycheck stub.
Yes, but believe me, I pay a lot into Social Security.
I don't know about you.
I promise you, the amount that people are taking out is not the amount that is going in, which is why we are going bankrupt.
Okay, but it's not the government just handing out a blank check.
No, it's the government borrowing money to pay. Well, you pay in X dollars, and then you get multiple times X dollars when you retire. That is how the system works. It is not a lockbox. This is what Al Gore was arguing about in 2000.
You could see on his face in the video, Ben Shapiro was showing an extraordinary amount of restraint, because you're talking about the biggest piece of welfare in the United States, a massive thing that has been talked about for years. People in politics should know how it works. And again, the biggest liberal political commentators don't know how it works. They don't even know what it is. Social Security is not a system like they talk about. You don't pay in and then it just sits in your own little account like an IRA and gains interest over time. That's what it should be, really, but it's not. What actually happens is you pay for the current Social Security recipients, and then because it's not enough money, obviously, because it's going bankrupt, the government borrows more money to cover up the difference so that everybody gets Social Security. Social Security is much more costly than most people realize, and that is true for Anna Kasparian in this video that I'm about to show you, who's on the CNN panel. She thinks that we send more money to Israel than we spend on Social Security. Ben Shapiro and Scott Jennings tag team her on this one.
Our national debt shot up significantly after 9/11, after we started invading countries in the Middle East.
You should look at a chart.
Now we're at 30.
In 2008,
we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on Israel, on Ukraine. I mean, honestly, these foreign conflicts have a lot more to do with our national debt as opposed to us paying into Social Security.
You think Israel is a bigger portion of our budget than Social Security,
Medicare, I think we Medicaid? Spend way too much money on military aid for foreign
thing.
Countries.
You think Absolutely. Israel is more
do
than
you
Social
think
Security?
That Social Security is more of an issue compared to how much money we just shell out for conflicts abroad?
As a matter of expenditures and math, yes.
Both entitlements.
Scott Jennings is absolutely right in here. I have a graph right here of our national debt. If you really want to see what has made it increase, obviously over time it's gone up, but what the big factors are in 2008 and then in 2020. You can see it just goes massively up from there. Anna Kasparian is kind of part of this isolationist horseshoe theory. It's a big chunk of the right and the left right now who believe that we're losing all of our money because we're giving it to foreign countries. Now, there's a portion of the money going there, and you can certainly make the argument that any money going to a foreign government is stupid. I'm on board for that in some ways. I'm not saying no money, but I'm saying that's a fair argument you could make. I've said countless times that we shouldn't be spending as much money in Ukraine or Israel, which are the two main ones. But by the way, we send money literally everywhere. And so, yeah, I think we could look at cutting down there. Even that, with all of that, that does not mean it even gets close to what Social Security does. It's true that we can waste money. It's also true that if we cut that money, it's not going to save our national debt. It's not causing that huge increase. What we see on the graph that I just showed is that the spending explodes when we give bailouts to banks, which is what happened in 2008. That's the huge increase in spending. We also see that spending explodes when Obama takes office because he explodes welfare. He's got Obamacare that goes into place. And then the third big inflection point is that it explodes around COVID when we decided to give free money to people who do not work. Which it's crazy. And by the way, Donald Trump and Biden are both complicit in that. So it's not really partisan. The problem with that spending with all three of them is that there's no going back. You can't go back on those. You cannot put the genie back in the bottle because Americans cannot live less than what they had before. Once you start giving Americans more, you can't take it back. Even though most Americans agree that the national debt is a problem, if you actually face them with their favorite little program, they're not willing to cut it. That's just the reality. And what's sad is that Americans don't even realize in the first place that if they just cut the spending, they would have a lot more spending power. They wouldn't even need the welfare that they're given in terms of reduced inflation, among other things. So if we really want to get a hold of the national debt, we would privatize Social Security and stop bailing out banks. That's the solution right there. Our defense spending costs less than $1 trillion a year. This is what Scott Jennings was trying to say. Social Security costs more than $3 trillion. So it's not even close. It's not even close. In addition to the economic fallout of the huge spending, Ben made a really good point in this that actually silenced the leftists. To my surprise, I think they agreed with him. I think he was able to convince them. Basically, what he says is that government spending really kills personal satisfaction and growth. Take a look.
But people have interests that don't necessarily make money, you know?
Including their grandchildren, including their parents, including...
Well, the need for meaning is very real. Yeah. And by the way, you see that in the polling. In that same Wall Street Journal poll, what you see is that Americans were pretty optimistic still about their economic circumstances and the directionality all the way up until about 2020. And really in 2020, it takes a nosedive. Mm-hmm. And that's with the government spraying money at people to stay home. Right. The question there was not, do I have enough money? Because the government was literally paying people for a full year to stay home and providing student loan subsidies and providing tax breaks and doing everything that it could to ensure that you had enough money in your pocket, which led, of course, to that giant bubble in inflation. So really, a lot of this feeling, I think, is driven by a feeling of helplessness that is itself being driven by uncertainty.
This is a massive point that conservatives have been making for decades, and I've been making it as well, which is people who are given money to live do not feel satisfied in their personal lives. And that's certainly true, but they don't even feel satisfied in their economic lives. Like, you could be given all of your money. You could have a UBI. You could have $10,000 given to you a month. It would never be enough. It would not feel satisfying in the same way as going and earning that $10,000 and take the inflation out of it. Obviously, a UBI of $10,000 a month would be incredibly inflationary. But take that out of it. The data is clear that economically, people don't feel good about it. Even though people say they want the welfare, they'll always accept it. They say they want the stimulus checks by the data. When they actually get that welfare, they feel less economically secure and satisfied because they have no control over it. And that's what this Wall Street Journal poll is pointing out, that they're talking about. They didn't earn it. They know this, whether they're openly admitting it or not. According to this Wall Street Journal poll, just 25% of people believe that they can improve their standard of living. That's bad. That, I mean, in my opinion, people talk about the American dream being able to be, you know, you buy land, you buy a house. I don't think that's the full picture. I don't think that's super accurate. I think this is the American dream. I can change my standard of living based on my merit. And that's a combination of hard work, but also talent. It's not just hard work, because there are some real hard workers that don't make any money, right? Or maybe make a mediocre amount of money. Whereas, you know, Jeff Bezos, who is super rich, I think he works pretty hard. I doubt he works the most hard out of everyone. I'm sure there's people who, you know, work much harder than him who have not billions of dollars. The other stat they get, 70% of people no longer believe hard work leads to success, which goes hand in hand with that other poll. Or they never did, by the way. It's not just, you know, some of these people are always pessimistic, but it's clear that this number has gone up. If you look at the graph, those numbers actually skyrocketed in 2020. And that's where I'm getting at with the stimulus checks. Is that in 2020, when the stimulus went out, when all the spending went crazy and the welfare kicked into overdrive, America decided that it actually did not fulfill them. They decided that they could not get ahead. So the struggle that we have then in America, and this isn't a right or a left issue, is that you have to properly diagnose the economic sadness it feels in America and not let the liars get to you. Because what we're hearing right now from the political opportunists like Zohran Mamdani or AOC is that capitalism has failed you. That's what we hear. In 2020, you got sad because capitalism failed you. 70% of people think hard work doesn't matter because capitalism is failing you. But when in reality, you look at the data, it's actually that when we give people oodles of money and inflate our currency, that is when the economy struggles and people think that hard work can't get you ahead. And that is socialism at the end of the day. Printing money for people, stimulus checks, not having to work, that's socialism. So it turns out, in reality, people hate socialism. However, opportunists like AOC, Bernie Sanders, all these people have convinced Americans that it's actually capitalism when in reality it is their policies. And they know this, but they're opportunists and they're trying to get in power. Unfortunately, I think most of the country is getting it backwards right now. Most of that is because of the lies of the media. Raina Forrouhar, she's on the panel. She's from the Financial Times. She was a good example of this. She went on and on and on about how great FDR was. And then Ben Shapiro pointed out that FDR used tariffs more than Trump does. Here it is.
This president is trying to raise money by putting tariffs on our adversaries and allies alike in ways that don't make any sense. There is
nothing. The FDR administration oversaw some of the largest tariffs in American history.
Nothing in common.
And FDR spent most of his administration ripping on what he called the malefactors of the Great Wealth.
So trying to provide. We're still living off of a lot of the public works that administration. I wish we were building highways.
So then why are you against what Trump is doing? Because he's doing a much lesser version of what FDR did.
No, Trump has, again, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Let me give you an example.
So he's an incompetent.
Shipbuilding.
Right?
Shipbuilding.
If you're competent, it would be better.
Well, you're just, this is rhetoric, but shipbuilding is a great example.
So Ben destroys her, shows that she's wrong, and her response is, shipbuilding. Let's talk about shipbuilding. These people do not know their basic history. And this is what's crazy. These people are on CNN. This lady is on the Financial Times. She does not understand basic history. And what's funny about this is that Ben Shapiro, myself included, by the way, does not even like the tariffs. So he's not defending the tariffs. He's just pointing out that she does not understand history and that she is contradicting herself. We also don't like FDR. You know, like, we're being consistent here. We don't like the tariffs. We don't like what Donald Trump's doing with them. We also hate FDR because he was a huge tariff guy. She somehow, in her mind, hates the tariffs, but then loves a president who had more tariffs than Donald Trump. Finally, guys, one of the favorite parts of this panel discussion. Ben went in on them for being hypocrites on how Trump and Biden have handled Ukraine. It's great. Take a look.
Everybody knew that this was what Putin was going to do. They said so from the get-go. The only people saying that Trump was a genius and that this was going to be all totally different were folks like you two and Donald Trump, perhaps.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm not sure that even President Trump said things were going to be totally different. He said that he was giving the opportunity for things to be totally different. But let's be real about this. 6 months ago, everybody would have celebrated on the left and in the center and on my part of the right if President Trump had said, we're going to maintain arms shipments to Ukraine and we might consider further sanctions on Russia. And actually, we're not going to force Ukraine into a bad settlement. Okay, so Trump hasn't done any of the things that everybody thought he was going to do in January of 2025. And now we're ripping him for what, not being hawkish enough? It's kind of funny how the goalposts move every time Trump moved. Trump is heterodox, but he is responsive to reality.
The moving of the goalposts is incredibly frustrating. Biden did nothing during his presidency. In fact, that's when Putin went in on Ukraine and took it. So he did less than nothing. He actually did bad things. Trump has made some progress on the Ukraine issue. He promised that he'd have it done on day one. We all knew that was hyperbole. But he's actually getting Zelensky and Putin to the table, which is good. And yet somehow Democrats think, and they're saying out loud, that he's worse than Biden. And that, I think, shows how void of integrity these people are. I can seriously say that myself, and I think other right-wing commentators and most Republicans, would have celebrated if Biden had brokered a peace deal. Because why? This is America. We're America first. We want the world to do well if it means America is flourishing. And clearly a war between Russia and Ukraine is not good for America. So if Biden had done it, I would have celebrated it. I would have given credit where credit's due. Democrats do not do the same when Trump does it. Mark my words, guys, when Trump ends the war, he's going to end the war during his presidency. They're going to find a way to somehow say that he's a Putin stooge and that he's evil. That will happen. They will literally side with cancer if Trump cures it. That is how it works right now. That's their whole party platform. They have nothing else. The policies are not independent policies. These are not things that Democrats actually believe. It's just a reaction to what Trump's policy is. So, like, what's their policy on trade? It's just whatever the opposite of Trump's is. What's their policy on women's rights in sports? Whatever the opposite of Trump's is. What's their policy on crime? It goes on and on and on. Before we get to some breaking news, the progressive left is a cult, guys. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. I know you've heard about it because I talk a lot about it, but you haven't bought it yet. So go check it out right now. I talk about some crazy, crazy stories. I know you'll enjoy reading it. I had a great time writing it. The link is in the description below. We've got some terrifying breaking news from Wired right now. A dark money group is secretly funding high-profile Democratic influencers. That is the headline. It gets very intense. It's from Wired. We're going to break it all down. The story starts like this. They say, quote, in a private group chat in June, dozens of Democratic political influencers discussed whether to take advantage of an enticing opportunity. They were being offered $8,000 per month. That's a lot of money. To take part in a secretive program aimed at bolstering Democratic messaging on the internet. But the contract sent to them from Chorus, the nonprofit arm of a liberal influencer marketing platform, came with some strings. Among other issues, it mandated extensive secrecy about disclosing their payments and had restrictions on what sort of political content the creators could produce. So essentially, Chorus, which is basically just a nonprofit that Clinton and, you know, the Soroses and everyone can donate to keep their money secret, is paying $8,000 a month to influencers to perform propaganda. And here's the thing, the two main things, right, is that it controls what they can actually post and they can't talk about it at all. And thank goodness we actually have this story from Wired. Even though it's very scary, I don't think we should be surprised. We obviously know this goes down. Here's a video of Hillary Clinton from just this week saying Democrats are losing control because platforms are becoming more free speech. Take a look.
The platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
They lose control when speech is free. So all they can do is try to hijack the apps or pay influencers. That's all they can do at this point. If you want a list of all the people being paid by Chorus, Wired did provide a few. A lot of these names didn't mean anything to me. One did, though. I'll name a few. You've got Eliza Orlins. Apparently, she was on Survivor. Pari, Olivia Giuliani, Suzanne Lambert. And then the name I recognize the most, which is David Pakman. David Pakman is a really big YouTuber, has a lot of pull. You know, he's close with the Biden family and, among others, I think he visited the White House a lot during the Biden administration. So that's scary. The question is, what are they being paid to do, right? This is according to Wire. They say, quote, creators in the program are not allowed to use any funds or resources that they receive as part of the program to make content that supports or opposes any political candidate or campaign without express authorization from Chorus in advance and in writing per the contract. Whew. That's a bombshell. I mean, it's a bombshell. They cannot talk positively about anyone except the handpicked candidate of Chorus, which is essentially the handpicked candidate of the Democrat Party. That's terrifying. So they're being paid off. It's a loyalty test. That's what it is. And they're doing this presumably because Kamala Harris was so unpopular among alternative media influencers in 2024. They want to fix this for 2028 because, you know, hats off to some of these alternative leftists. A lot of them were not pumped with Kamala Harris. And so they didn't speak positively about her. And what Chorus is trying to do is essentially pay them off and say, look, we know you didn't like Kamala Harris. Say we run Kamala Harris again or AOC and you don't like her. We're going to pay you $8,000 a month to pretend you do. That's what's happening right now. This is deeply corrupt. For those of you unfamiliar with journalism ethics, I have a journalism degree. It's not worth much, but I did learn about some journalism ethics. Taking money from nonprofits and not disclosing them, not a good thing. Like, really bad. About as bad as it gets. Because as the contract states, as per Wired, and Wired did have an actual copy of the contract, so this is reputable, I made sure of that. They cannot say, these influencers cannot say that they are being a part of this program really in the first place, or what they're being paid, or what they're being told to do. So it does not get worse than that. It has to remain anonymous on their end. They sign an NDA, apparently, you know, essentially. So again, taking money from people is one thing. That happens sometimes. It's not necessarily the worst thing. I may take money from a sponsor, for example. That's how you actually make money. Maybe you get paid to cover a certain topic or have a certain guest on. That happens. But the biggest thing in journalism integrity is that you have to disclose it. Your audience has to know about it. If I'm getting paid, that's why I say partner of this show. The FTC will come after me if I don't say that. They will literally come after me unless I say the partner of the show. But even if they didn't come after me, I would say it anyway, because that is what alternative media does to actually kick out the mainstream media. They're actually honest about who they're being paid for. You know, CNN gets paid by Pfizer tons of money, but that's not disclosed. We don't really know. We know that, but we don't know a lot about it. Alternative media is supposed to be more credible in some respects because they're supposed to disclose their conflicting interests. In this case, that's not happening. When you don't disclose it, you lose all credibility and all morality. I don't care if it's left or the right. Speaking of journalistic integrity, I have a new Substack that I'm announcing today. You can check it out in the link below. Substack, if you didn't know, is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your email. It's completely free. And I'm able to talk about things in a written form that I just simply can't talk about because of big tech. It's a great way to connect with you guys. So go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching this video, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will be able to see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.